Okay, this is Brooke. She's kind of a girl geek. Really? Works in my office, and she does a deadpan, not deadpan, what's the word? A dead-on impression of a Wookiee yell, the cry of a Wookiee. And so here it is. Go for it. Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. All right.
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin. The express train from Monterrey has been derailed outside of Mexico City. Early reports indicate an appalling loss of life. There are eyewitness accounts which state that monster scorpions have swarmed around the wreckage, creating havoc.
You're listening to Extra Life Radio. And now, Scott Johnson.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Extra Life Podcast. This is Extra Life Radio show number 34, and technically this is a late week minicast. I try to do these sometimes before the weekends, sometimes not, sometimes do. This is not affiliated with our normal Tuesday show, which is our big panel show, but this is still good fun for all those who care to listen. Get a couple of things out of the way. This is the Extra Life Radio Podcast. To learn more about the podcast and about Extra Life in general, go to myextralife.com. There's lots there to enjoy. The comic thrice a week, the message boards, the blog on the main page, just about anything you can stand is right there and ready for you to get your little grubby hands in. Grateful to our sponsor, mindonthenet.com. Lately, we've been ripping their bandwidth, a new one. And just really glad that they're still willing to continue to sponsor the show and sponsor the website and let me host the MP3 files for this fine show that you're listening to now. So go check those guys out, mindonthenet.com. And for your next hosting needs, check them out. They do great stuff, and they do it for a great price. Okay, today's show is a little bit unique, a little bit different. This is for all you Xbox fans, and I'm not just talking about the gaming part of the Xbox. In fact, today, we're not hardly talking about gaming at all, although there is some connection still in a number of ways, and maybe not ways you're thinking of. Now, modding an Xbox, or other consoles for that matter, is not anything new. You've probably heard of it 1,000 times before, you probably have done it yourself, or you have friends that have done it as well. Well, I have with me a special guest who is an old friend of mine. We go way back, way, way back, and he's done some things with the Xbox One that I think are worth note, something worth talking about. So we're going to talk a little bit about how he did it, what he does, and why you may want to consider doing what he's done to his Xbox. His name is Chris. I don't give any last names on this show because other than my own. So if you need to stalk anyone, here I am. But on the show with us, we have Chris, an old friend from 99. Chris, how's it going?
It's going good.
Was it 99? Has it been that long?
Nah, I don't know.
Yeah. 99, 2000,
it's
something
been a while.
Like that. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's 5, 6 years, something like that.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Well,
infiltration days.
I hope I introduced you correctly. Did everything I say about what you've done with the Xbox so far, does that all sound fairly accurate?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much all I've really done is I put a mod chip in it, a big hard drive, and then converted it into, with a lot of the existing tools that are out there on the net, into kind of my home media center. And it's basically what we use for movies, music, and games. And that's, you know, it's aside from the TiVo, it's one of the most useful entertainment things we have in the house.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. So the Xbox is hit its 5th year anniversary, or just barely. It came out in 2001. And it's about to go the way of the dodo in terms of generational hardware. The Xbox 360 is due to be released in November of this year. November 4th is the latest I've heard. And so some people might be wondering, well, why are you talking about the Xbox? This is old news. You know, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that if you want to extend your initial investment, I think you bought the Xbox when it was like $299, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, way back in 2001. If you want to extend the life of your Xbox, we're going to talk a little bit about how that can be done. You still can play Xbox games. You can still do all the things you enjoy about your Xbox now when it's unmodded. But oh, the things you can do when you mod the thing. And so we're going to talk about a few of those. So tell me, what of all the stuff that you've been able to squeeze out of this thing after doing the chip and going through the process, what's your favorite thing that it does?
Really? I mean, I think the thing that gets most use is movies. Because you know, we'll, you know, we'll go and rent a movie and pop it in the CD drive, and you can make a backup copy of the movie. Now, I don't condone piracy, but in fact, that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. I was wondering when that was going to come up. But the point is,
yeah,
if you...
I don't know really how to make that disclaimer with
well,
the
look,
fact that
let's
I have
look
lots
at,
of movies.
Let's look at it this way. Anybody who wants to use the Xbox One as a media center and as a modded piece of hardware can do so without ever pirating a single film or game or anything else if they really wanted to. The truth is you could take, for example, if you got all the Disney DVDs for your kids or whatever, and... fair use, you know, says that you can make backups of these things and throw in all the games you, or the, excuse me, the movies you already own, or games for that matter, onto that big massive hard drive is not illegal. Now, modding the actual Xbox, I don't know. I don't understand everything behind all that, but putting your own movies on there is not a problem, is it?
Yeah, no. And as a matter of fact, that's really, to, you know, all kidding aside, that's mostly what we're doing is we've got all the kids' Disney movies and, you know, some videos that you can pull down off the internet and things like that running on it. And yeah. The kids, you know, I mean, they destroy those DVDs. So
sure.
We've got a nice copy of them that you can just basically select through a menu, real user-friendly interface, actually more friendly than something like a TiVo would have.
Sure.
There's less running around to get to the screen that you want and a lot faster response time, so...
Well, let me ask you this. When you put a movie on there, obviously you mentioned this before, and I really dig this part of it. The fact that now your original DVD that you purchased for $19.95 is essentially your backup, your unscratched, unscathed, in better shape, possibly for resale later copy of the movie, and now your working copy is on the drive. Is that, have I kind of summed that up right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and I really like that. Now, when it comes to games, are we talking about a similar process? If you already own, let's say, I don't know, Jade Empire, and you want to get that thing on there and not play it from the CD or from the DVD every time, can you do the same thing?
Yes. You know, there are tools available in a lot of the auto-load software that's out there for modded Xboxes that will allow you to copy a game directly to your hard drive. And, you know, aside from it being a nice place to just keep all your games organized without having to grab a CD. Loading times are improved. So, yeah, I mean, it's all around. It's a lot more convenient to be able to play that way.
How do you feel about the interface? Do you think they've nailed it? Is it? I mean, and when I say they, this isn't like something Microsoft's doing. These are developers on the outside who are, you know, working on this thing, right?
It's all homebrew.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of different interfaces. What I use is the Xbox Media Center actually as my launcher.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, that application is completely professional. It's all amateur.
You know. Amateur professionalism. Professional amateurs, let's call them.
No, I mean, it looks like something that you'd buy in a store, basically. It is very user-friendly, really full-featured. It'll play just about any music format, including, like, Ogg Vorbis, which some of the newer ones. And it'll even let you actually stream things from your PC, so you can actually stream AAC format things if you have iTunes running on your PC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you can...
I didn't know
you
that.
You can download stuff from iTunes and play it on your Xbox. And the way we have it set up is we've got a big screen TV and we've got powered studio monitors, but, you know, a lot of people will have, like, a little home theater surround sound set up. You can just run your Xbox into there and use that as your music center for the house.
Wow, that's cool. Now, you mentioned all formats, so I assume MP3s, WMAs, you mentioned Ogg Vorbis, CDs, I guess. It probably plays regular CDs, is that correct?
Yeah, it will read CDs and it will also rip them so that you can...
You can rip them right to the... Well, yeah, and I guess the Xbox does that now, but it's WMA only and it's pretty proprietary and all that, but I guess modded, you can tear those off and throw them right to MP3s, I assume, right?
You know, honestly, I don't know. You probably can, but I've never tried that. I actually just rip them to my PC and then send them over. You know, one of the nice things about it is that a lot of these programs that are included in the autoloader run an FTP server. You can control your Xbox like it were a remote PC across FTP.
That's pretty cool. I assume you could probably do it wireless as well if you had that set up on a wireless network.
That's how I do it.
You've got a wireless adapter then for the Xbox.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's very, very cool. So that's how you're streaming audio off this thing as well.
I can stream audio that way. Actually, I have about 30 gigs of audio on the box itself.
Yeah.
Just so that I don't have to have the computer on at the same time as the Xbox.
Well, do you... Oh, this was another question. I have something in some notes here that I kept. This thing will do... You can pick up Shoutcast servers, I understand. Is that right?
Yes.
That's cool.
That's another great feature of it. But not only can you pick up the Shoutcast, you can also record the Shoutcast.
Oh.
So that you can end up building a huge library of songs. And it'll... Xbox Media Center will... it'll record the individual songs for most of the streams. You know, for some, it'll actually just record a big chunk with tons of songs.
But yeah.
For the most part, it'll separate them into songs, name them properly, put them in a particular folder that is specified by the little initialization file that you set up.
That is totally wild. So when
really nice.
So somebody runs, let's say somebody's running a Shoutcast server, it's all 80s music, they're doing 128K or 128-bit encoding, so it's nice MP3, high MP3 quality stuff. You're able to take that stuff and turn them into MP3 files as if they were the ripped digital equivalent from a CD.
Exactly.
That's wicked cool. All right, now here's the part I'm most interested in. Before we get to that, does this modification, and I'm sure our listeners will want to know this too, and again, I may be preaching to the choir today. This is probably something most of my fans already do, and I'm just a slow idiot, but what the hell was I saying? Hold on. Oh, yeah. So my question is, when it comes to Xbox Live Play, people are subscribed to the $9.95 Xbox Live service. Does modding the Xbox keep them from being able to use that account? Are they screwed?
Well, you're not screwed. There are actually a lot of new setups that you can run. A lot of the mod chips support stealth mode, where you're actually loading everything onto an F drive.
Yeah.
And what Xbox Live does is it goes out and it checks your, I believe it checks your C drive and your D drive for certain sizes that they know are standard sizes for Xboxes.
Yeah.
And they're looking for certain files out of place and things like that. I don't know exactly what it is, but what they'll do is they'll go out and look at your box, and if things are out of place, they'll actually lock out your account. Well, they won't lock out your account. They'll lock out the MAC address on the network card on your Xbox.
Oh, the NIC card that's built into the Xbox. Okay.
Yes.
So that makes sense. Yeah.
If you install in stealth mode, which is actually not something that I've done yet, it puts everything on the F drive, and supposedly Xbox Live cannot distinguish it from a non-modded Xbox.
Okay, so in essence, it spoofs the requirements that Live's looking for in order to run.
Yep.
Okay, that makes pretty good sense. Well, again, I don't know how legal that is, but it sure is cool. It sure is full of hackery. Tom Hackery, I like to say.
I don't think that modding your Xbox is illegal.
Yeah.
I think actually selling the mod chips in the U.S. is illegal.
Yeah. Well, this brings up a good point. I'm going to make this clear at this point in the podcast because it's something I feel really strongly about. When you go out, I don't care what it is that you're buying. Let's say I don't care if it's a brand new Honda or it's an Xbox or it's a freaking pair of shoes. You should be able to do whatever you want to whatever you bought. So, for example, if I buy a DVD, this is one of my complaints here lately. Sony has made it so hard to get a DVD, the content from a DVD, and if I had a 2 gig memory card, that would help too, and I don't yet. But to get that DVD ripped down into a format that I can play on my PSP, they make it really difficult. In fact, they don't make it possible at all. I have to do it through all sorts of third-party hackery stuff. And they hate the idea that people are doing that. I don't understand that. I mean, fair use to me means, okay, here's my DVD I bought of whatever movie it is. Let's say it's Gladiator, and I want to watch it anywhere I want to watch it because it's my freaking DVD. I should be able to do that, and it bugs me that they try to control that and stop that. In this particular case, it's your stuff, and that Xbox is your machine. You bought that thing. You should be able to go in there and solder a human eye in there for all you care. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that would be kind of cool anyway.
Yeah. Now, I do understand from Sony's standpoint that they're trying to legitimize the UMD format.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, they probably don't want you, even though it's a Sony picture, they probably don't want you to go out and buy the DVD, rip it down to your PSP, and then
not buy the UMD.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, then they can just choke on their own vomit because I'm not paying twice for the same movie. There's just no way. I don't care who makes it or how affordable. Now, if they said, okay, UMD movies are now $4.85, I'm there. But when they're 19 and I got the DVD for 14, forget it. Just stupid. But anyway, back to this whole Xbox thing. Another feature I really dig on. Again, the legality comes into this whole issue. I'm a huge fan of early arcade games in the 80s, or arcade games in general. My dad had the first arcade in our neighborhood. He used to buy these things. So in my basement and garage, we had stand-up Pac-Man and Missile Command, Battlezone, Centipede, whatever, Donkey Kong, all the cool stuff. And I was very popular despite my let's put it this way. I wouldn't have been very popular without it all, but... But the bottom line was, I just fell in love with that stuff, and it's kind of the foundation for my love of games. So MAME emulators are one of my favorite things in the world. Now, I understand a modded Xbox is a wonderful MAME emulation device. Is this correct?
Yeah, it's. I've had MAME on a lot of different platforms. Well, not a lot, but a few. And Xbox is easily the best because, you know, you're just... These things are designed to be played like you play a console, not sitting at a keyboard using your arrow keys to move Pac-Man around the maze. You actually get to sit with your controller in front of a screen, whatever size you want, and play Pac-Man, play Donkey Kong, Dig Dug, all that good stuff.
Yeah,
and,
that's awesome.
And it's pretty well supported in the Xbox. There's, you know, it's not quite as robust as what you get in the PC versions, but still it's pretty good. I have not run across anything I've wanted to play that has not played.
Yeah, it sounds like the classics are supported, and even in the case of some of the PC emulators, they still have some limits. There's ROMs I can't get to play no matter what I throw at it.
Right.
So this seems like a perfectly suitable alternative to, you know, inserting coin with key 6 and, like you said, moving Pac-Man around with arrow keys. That's just retarded.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times I've said one of the coolest features of this, but one of the coolest features really is the fact that you've got a game museum sitting in that little box on your TV, because right now I've got MAME, which I'm playing all the classic arcade games on. Yep. I've got an Atari 2600 emulator, an Intellivision emulator, ColecoVision emulator, whoa, Amiga, Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Game Boy Advance, you know, pretty much every system up to the latest generation.
That's amazing. Is N64 supported as well?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was playing Zelda on it the other day.
Wow.
You're not going to get GameCube games or PlayStation 2 games, but pretty much everything else besides the Dreamcast, which really bums me out, you've got.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, I've got like 150 Dreamcast games laying around and nothing to play them on.
Oh, I love that machine. I really did. That makes me sad when I talk about it. Well, that's great. Anything else about that thing that you think is notable? Any reason that that you think would put someone over the top? I mean, basically these mod chips are what? They're like $49.
At the most. Well, you know, there are some that have a lot of features that you really don't need that are $80, but, you know, I got mine for $35 shipped.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you consider the fact that an Xbox can be had for used for maybe $120, plus the cost of the mod chip and a hard drive, you know, you can get huge hard drives for $75 now.
Yeah.
You're really talking about what, $250?
So $250, the cost of a PSP, and you've got a fully modded Xbox capable of doing everything you've talked about so far, and then some.
Yeah.
Tell me quickly, how do the Xbox games themselves work? Is it the same principle? You just copy them to a drive and then you launch them through this media center, or how does it work?
Yes. Huh. You can do it that way, or you can do it just the conventional stick the CD in the driveway. But games take up a lot of space.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine so. Yeah.
I mean, right now on mine, I've got a 120 gig hard drive and I probably have maybe 20 games on it. And that's pushing it.
Still, that's pretty good.
Out of space.
That's pretty good. I mean, how many of us have more time than that, you know, to play up to 20 games? So I think that would probably be, you know, it'd be good enough for me. I know that.
Yeah.
It'd be plenty for me. I heard somebody tell me that you could just do this thing with the good old 8 gig that's in there, But you'd run out of space after about a game, right?
It really depends on what you want to do with it. You know, I mean, if you are not concerned with putting the games on the hard drive, but perhaps making backup copies, to use, you could do that. You could fit a game or two on that hard drive, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's a pretty small drive. I mean, I remember back in the day, and I'm still amazed actually that a game can come out on the Xbox and the PC, and the PC version looks like trash without the best rig possible. And the Xbox version just shines, and then you go, let's see. How is my 3.6 gigahertz Pentium 4 with all the hoochie crappy front side bus this and,
you know, the hoochie crap?
extra cache that on the chip. All this kind of crap. And it looks 1,000 times better on my TV through the Xbox. And then you go, well, what's in that Xbox? Let's see, a 700 megahertz Pentium 3 equivalent with a freaking GeForce 3 in there.
Right.
That's amazing, and hardly any RAM. I love the dedicated platform. It's cool that you can take these things and extend their life the way you've done it. And I hope that what we've talked about today has educated a few gamers and maybe made them think a little bit about how to extend the life of their Xbox. I mean, when this 360 comes out, and I know you've mentioned you're going to get that thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we all are. Day one, dude. We'll be on the freaking instant messenger telling each other all about it.
It'll be like Christmas morning.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I'll be going, oh, my poor sad Xbox. And I'll, you know, normally I'd be going, well, let's just sell it like I always do every console I ever get, you know,
right,
through a generation with.
And that's exactly why I did this, because, you know, I wanted to keep this thing around. And it's, you know, there's a lot of potential you can unlock in that box.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm totally impressed with what you're able to do. I've got a friend who's turned one into a Linux server. It's running as a web server in a rack he's got, and it blows my mind. And everything he needs it to do, it's doing. That was the other question I almost forgot about. What's the OS in this thing? Is it using Linux?
No, actually, I don't know what it's using. I mean, it's gotta be actually using the original kernel or a modified version of it because it's running the Xbox games.
Oh yeah, yeah. So they've taken that maybe and just hacked the poo out of it and they're left with whatever it is, some modified version of the Windows, whatever it is that they use.
Yeah, I really don't know.
Now, I do find it interesting. The Xbox 360 is going to be using essentially a version of Windows Media Center.
Yes.
I think that they're trying to nip this early in the butt and say, well, did I say butt? I meant bud. They're trying to say, okay, look, we know people are going to try to hack this and mod it and do all the things they do with every generation. Let's just give them the experience of a really well-thought-out Media Center, a free version of Live. You know, let them do their music, let them sell stuff, let them have community stuff. Let's enhance this whole experience to be more of a Media Center type experience. You know, they may say, well, that's just progress, but I think it's a little bit of hedging their bets. You know, it's like...
Oh, I definitely think so.
Yeah, because they...
And it's also looking at what people are doing with their Xboxes right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's exactly what I mean. I mean, if you're with what you're doing and what they know everybody else is doing with a modded Xbox, they have to be going, wow.
Right.
You know, a lot of people are probably even buying the thing for this reason.
Yeah. Now,
go ahead.
I was going to say, we're going to undoubtedly see some mod chip manufacturers like Team Executor bringing out larger hard drives for this thing. Even though it looks like a proprietary format, they're probably going to be able to, you know, it's probably going to be a laptop hard drive in a specialized case.
Yeah. Oh, I imagine sure.
So, you know, they're going to put a 20 gig hard drive in there,
yeah,
which really isn't going to allow you to do a whole lot.
No. No, better than eight, but still lame.
Right. But, you know, I mean, it kind of remains to be seen what we're going to be able to get out of that 360. It really might do just everything that this Xbox is going to do aside from, you know, letting you run emulators on it.
Yeah, and who knows? I mean, isn't the whole reason the Xbox is so modifiable now is because somebody screwed up something with a game, that MechWarrior game? Wasn't that the deal to kind of let him in or something?
I don't think so, but I mean that's why you can soft mod it. I really don't know the story behind that, but I suspect it was just some coder who wanted to put a little backdoor into it. And basically, there is a save game for Mech Assault 2, I think, which actually will load a Linux operating system on your Xbox and allow you to softmod it. Yeah. I don't know a lot about that process.
I don't either. There's a couple of guys around here that actually have told me about it, and I think it's Mechassault. I may have been two. I thought it was one, but the point is that somebody left a little door open, and I wonder if any heads rolled. around Microsoft or whoever made the game, but I think Microsoft published it.
I think Microsoft published it.
Yeah, so I don't know who the developers are, but that guy's probably screwed. he's golfing with John Romero right about now. All right, well, this has been very educational. I think that I know I've learned something. I've been trying to actually, behind the scenes, trying to mod mine as well. I thought about trying the soft mod, tried the hardware method, but the folks I use for the chip never shipped it. Never charged me.
Sorry about that recommendation.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, you know, you do what you do, but I never got it, and they never charged me, so I can't really complain too much, but I got to do something because I really want to see what I can get out of that thing. If I didn't have to pay for my brakes a week ago, I'd probably be doing it today. So,
You know, regardless of what you get in the Xbox 360 or the even the PlayStation 3, this has just become one of the most useful entertainment things, the most useful entertainment thing in this house. So
yeah, that's very cool.
Definitely won't be disappointed.
And you're a longtime PC guy with all the tweaks and hacks and all the hoo-ha. And from what I've heard, you've just really been enjoying this thing.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I totally appreciate you being on the show. We should do this more often, actually. We've known each other forever. We used to work together on a old mod for Unreal Tournament called Infiltration. Many of you may know about or remember. And it's been forever. Oh, my gosh. It had to have been 99. I think it was.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, so we've been chatting on and off for that long. We live pretty far apart. Chris lives in Maryland. I live way in the crap out in Utah, and a lot of distance between us. But thanks to the internet, we get to talk all the time. So we should do this again.
Will do.
All right, we'll talk to you later. And you have been listening to the Extra Life Podcast. You guys, send in your freaking feedback. radio@myextralife.com. Actually, it makes it sound like I don't get any feedback. We've actually been getting quite a bit. Lately, and got a whole bunch to read on the next group show on Tuesday, so I won't bother you with too much of it now, but I do want to play a beef call at the end of this, and I'll make sure to do that here in a minute. But thanks again for listening. Keep subscribing to the show. I love where the traffic's going. We're bringing all kinds of new people to the site, and it's just one big, fat, happy family, and I'm just ecstatic about the whole development, so thanks again for viewing. Thanks again for listening to the show, and I look forward to seeing you guys next Tuesday.
Hey, Scott. This is Rico from Michigan calling. I just had to call because your podcast lately with the gang, you guys are picking on one of the true great actors of our generation. And, of course, I'm speaking about Dean Cain. Recently, on an episode of Robot Chicken, and if you guys don't know what that is, you need to find out. It's a Seth Green 15-minute little animated show. I think it comes out about once a week. But this past weekend, Seth put Dean Cain in his episode, and basically Dean was playing himself. You know, it was a stretch, but he managed. And I just wanted to clue you guys in that, Dean's out there. He's putting it on the line all the time. So just had to tell you guys that, and love the show. Keep up the great work. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Extra Life Podcast. If you'd like to participate, call the Beef Line, 206-350-BEEF, or send us an email, radio@myextralife.com.